to the Lord, a word of prayer. Eternal God and our Father, we thank Thee for the joy and privilege this ours to be in Thy presence tonight. We thank the Lord again for the return of the gospel. Or we ask, O God, that tonight You be pleased to come. Speak, Lord, into this meeting, we pray, and pour out Your Spirit upon us in a most remarkable way. So just be with us now. Give us help, Lord, in this meeting. In the Savior's name we pray. Amen. Hymn number 339 is our opening hymn. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. Day I will never forget after I wandered in darkness away. Jesus, my Savior, I met. We'll stand together as we sing this hymn, please. Still our hearts before Him this evening. Eternal God and our Father, we thank Thee for each one in this meeting that we can sing, Lord, about that day when heaven filled our souls. For that day when the Lord Jesus Christ came to save us, took us out of the dirt of sin, or took us out of the mire of sin. And Lord, we thank Thee for that wonderful, wonderful day we will never forget. We thank the Lord that it has been the experience of so many gathered in this place tonight. We thank Thee, Lord, today that we can say that we're saved. We're saved by the grace of God. We thank Thee, Lord, that this evening we can sing, Lord, about that grace that reached us the precious blood of Jesus Christ that bought us and brought us into the fold of God. But, oh God, it is our prayer tonight in this gospel meeting, Lord, for those who are here without Christ. Lord, we pray that even tonight, Lord, that you will be pleased, Lord, to step into their lives, step into their hearts, step in, Lord, to their situations. And, oh God, we pray that you'll be pleased to save their never-dying souls. Oh God, we pray that tonight the realities of life and death, Lord, might dawn upon each one this evening. Lord, that there will be that awakening. There will be that reality tonight. And oh God, we pray that sinners tonight will come. And Lord, come and call upon thee as Lord and Master of their lives. Come confessing their sins. Come the way of the cross tonight. For Lord, we thank thee tonight that the way of the cross, it still leads home. Our Father, we thank thee, Lord, tonight that burdens are still lifted at Calvary. We pray thee, O God, tonight that there is forgiveness with God, that he may be feared. And Heavenly Father, we pray that the fear of God, Lord, will come into some heart, into some life tonight, we pray. Lord, that you'd be pleased to save their souls. Lord, do that work which will last for time and for eternity. Oh God, we pray this evening, Lord, for a very real sense of thy presence. Come amongst us, oh God, we pray. Pour out your Spirit upon us, oh God, we ask of thee. Our Father, we pray that you'll bless each one gathered in our meeting tonight. We thank the Lord for the mercies, the goodness of God that finds us here. We pray, Lord, be pleased to encourage our hearts and bless us, Lord. We thank thee tonight that there is no people like the people of God. We thank the Lord tonight that there is no place like the place of God, the house of God, and no place we'd rather be in the evening of thy day, but in thy house. And, oh God, we pray that you'll help us this evening to worship thee, and, Lord, to lift our hearts in praise and thanksgiving unto thee. Our Father, we pray that you'll bless, Lord, in our singing, our praise. Lord, may it be acceptable in thy sight, we pray. We ask, oh God, that you'll remember Jonathan as he administered to us in song. Lord, be pleased to bless him, and, Lord, use him tonight, we pray. And, Lord, even through the messages that he would sing, we pray, Lord, you'd be pleased to use it to the glory and to the honor of thy name and the salvation of precious souls. Bless us around the word of God. We thank thee, O God, tonight for thy word. We thank thee, Lord, tonight for its instruction. We thank thee, Lord, tonight that the word of God is quick, it is powerful, it is sharper than any two-edged sword. And Heavenly Father, we pray that the sword, Lord, will pierce in to every heart tonight. And O God, we pray that even as we come around the gospel, Lord, that those of us that are saved, may the gospel warm and charm our hearts afresh this evening. But, O God, we pray that that gospel will also challenge lives. Lord, save the lost, O God, we pray. We thank you, Lord, tonight that your word will not return unto you void. Lord, it will accomplish that which you have sent it to. And Heavenly Father, we pray, accomplish the word of God tonight in hearts and lives, even in the salvation of the lost. Bless across our land. Remember our city especially tonight. We ask, O God, that you'll be pleased, Lord, to come. Come and revive us, Lord, in the midst of the years. We pray, Lord, for this part of the city especially. Pray for Ballyhackamore. We ask, O God, that you'll work, Lord, around this area, we pray. Lord, we pray for that moving of God. We ask, O God, for that stirring amongst the people. And, O God, we pray that you'll take men and women, Lord, out of the complacency, Lord, that they're in tonight. And, Lord, we pray that you'll save their souls. And, O God, we pray that you'll be pleased to add on to the church daily such as should be saved. Lord, bless each and all who have the great responsibility tonight of handling the word of God. Encourage them, we pray. Stand with them, O God, we pray. And may there be signs to follow the preaching of the gospel of saving grace. So just be with us now. Continue, Lord, your presence with us. Give us help. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. Amen. We're delighted to welcome back to Sandown tonight our friend, good friend of mine, Mr. Logan. We'll just call him Jonathan for tonight. Glad to have him. And Noah as well, welcome you both in the Savior's name. I'm going to ask you to come and sing for us now, Johnny. Thank you.
I'm not sure. This may work, so we'll give it a go, I think. If I can find the hole for it. If it doesn't, we have a backup plan anyway, here, so we have. But can I thank the Reverend Wilson for the kind words of welcome. It is lovely to be here to try and sing for the Lord tonight. You're going to bear with me. I've been struggling with a cold for the past week. I was just thinking of ringing the Reverend Wilson to sort of say I might not be able to sing, but I knew I would get absolutely no sympathy at all, so I thought I'd better just come. But I know I probably will struggle. This thing is not the best at the best of times, so it'll be even worse tonight. But we'll try this and see if this works, and then if not, we'll have to go to this. And then, worst case, it could be Gillian or Rachel playing as well, so we'll see how we get on here. That got a bit louder. Maybe give that a go again. Is that all right? And we'll start from the, if I can get the first note.
Oh Lord, my rock, my redeemer, greatest treasure of my longing soul. My God, like you there is no other. True delight is found in you alone. Your grace a well too deep to fathom. Your love exceeds the heaven's reach. Your truth a fount of perfect wisdom, my highest good and my unending need. O Lord, my rock and my redeemer, strong defender of my weary heart, my soul to fight the cruel deceiver, and my shield against his hateful darts. My song when enemies surround me, my hope when tides of sorrow rise, my joy when trials are abounding. Your faithfulness, my refuge in the night. O Lord, my rock and my redeemer, gracious Savior of my ruined life, my guilt and cross laid on your shoulders. In my place, you suffered, bled, and died. You rose, the grave and death are conquered. You broke my bonds of sin and shame. O Lord, my rock and my redeemer, may all my days bring glory to your name. May all my days bring glory to your name. The sands of time are sinking, the dawn of heaven breaks, the summer morn I've sighed for, the fair sweet morn awakes. Dark, dark hath been the midnight, but dayspring is at hand, and glory, glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land. O Christ, he is the fountain, the deep, deep well of love. The streams on earth I've tasted, more deep I'll drink above. There too an ocean. His mercy doth expand, and glory, glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land. With mercy and with judgment, my web of time he wove, and always dews of sorrow were lustered with his love. I'll bless the hand that guided, I'll bless the heart that planned, when thronged where glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land. Oh, I am my beloved's, and my beloved's mine. He brings a poor, vile sinner into his house of wine. I stand upon his merit. I know no other stand, not e'en where glory dwells. Not her garments, but her dear bridegroom's face. I will not gaze at glory, but on my King of grace. Not at the crown he giveth, but on his pierced hand. Oh, the Lamb is all the glory of Emmanuel's land.
Jonathan, thank you very much for ministering song tonight. Pray the Lord bless you. And yes, I would have given you lots of sympathy, but I've told you still you're coming. But just thinking there as I was working that iPad, times have changed since we used to go around the country. I was going to say go around the singing. He sang, I played, and he might have thrown a piece of music at you. But now he's got all fancy and all high tech with his iPad and all that. So he's getting up in the world, but we're glad to have him. Pray the Lord will bless his ministry in song tonight. I want you to turn with me, please. Very short Bible reading tonight to the Old Testament book of Jeremiah, please. The Old Testament book of Jeremiah. And we're going to read from the 12th chapter. Jeremiah chapter 12. Jeremiah chapter 12. And we will read the first six verses just of this chapter together. The Old Testament book of Jeremiah, chapter 12, and the verse number 1. Righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee, yet let me talk with thee of thy judgments. Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? Wherefore are all they happy that deal very treacherously? Thou hast planted them, yea, they have taken root. They grow, yea, they bring forth fruit. Thou art near in their mouth and far from their reins. But thou, O Lord, knowest me, and thou hast seen me and tried mine heart toward thee. Pull them out like sheep for the slaughter. and prepare them for the day of slaughter. How long shall the land mourn, and the herbs of every field wither, for the wickedness of them that dwell therein? The beasts are consumed, and the birds, because they said, He shall not see our last end. If thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if the land in the land of peace wherein thou trustest, they wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? For even thy brethren and the house of thy father, even they have dealt treacherously with thee. Yea, they have called a multitude after thee. Believe them not, though they speak fair words unto thee. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts. Let me welcome you all along this evening. We're delighted to see you in the Savior's house and the Savior's name in God's house tonight. Thank you for your presence and for your support here. And also to those who are watching online, we welcome you as well. The Explorers Club will be on this Tuesday night again for the boys and girls at 6:30 here in the church. That'll be followed by our prayer meeting and Bible study here on Tuesday night as well at 8 o'clock. Friday night, our youth fellowship will be meeting up in the upstairs room. Brother John will be speaking on Friday night. And then also on Friday night, that will be the men's monthly prayer meeting. And Saturday, that's our seniors' Christmas fellowship over in the Jubilee Complex at the Martyrs from 12 o'clock to 2 o'clock. And so we're looking forward to a good time, and I hope and trust that you'll be able to join with us. As we've said in the past, we don't ask for any proof of ID or any proof of age. Just you come along and you will be very welcome. If I could ask again and remind again those who are helping, if you could be at the Martyrs for around about 10:45 on Saturday morning just to get things set up, that would be much appreciated. Next Sunday, 10:15, our Sunday school and Bible class, and our two main services, 11:30 and 6:30, in the will of the Lord, with our Sunday school in Redburn at 2:30. Next Sunday night, our brother Nigel Davidson will be here to sing. Then do remember the memorial service for the late Dr. Bill Woods. That's on Sunday, the 3rd of December, and that's been held in the Martyrs Church at 3:30. And you all invited to that as that special memorial service for the life and the witness of the late Dr. Woods. That's Sunday the 3rd at 3:30 in the Martyrs. Then again, if you can, if you're writing an article for the next edition of the Sandown Herald, please get those to Paul as quickly as you can. Missionary Council offering and box last week came to £349.50 to continue to remember all those who are in need of our prayers, or those who are sick, or Brother Richard still in hospital, those who are shut in. And we also asked you to remember in prayer all of our students at this time as they sit their examinations over the next number of weeks. Just one other announcement. I can remind our elders that we have a session meeting on Thursday the 30th of November at 7:30. That will be followed then by a committee meeting that same night at 8:15. Do remember the offering boxes there for your offerings and your tithes. We make these subject to the will and providence of the Lord. Let's sing together the words of hymn number 197, Tell Me the Old, Old Story of Unseen Things Above, of Jesus and His Glory, of Jesus and His Love. 197, we'll stand again as we sing this hymn, please.
Jesus.
to ask Jonathan to come again and sing for us. The Lord bless you. Thank you.
Stop to wonder what this life is all about, why you're here and where you're going when your lease on time runs out. Maybe you've been far too busy trying hard to reach your goal. Success may shine on you. All your friends may sing your praises. Not a care on you shall roll. What about the great tomorrow? Have you thought about your soul? Never think it over. Spend a little time today. There is nothing more important that will ever come your way than the joy of sins forgiven. The Savior, have you thought about your soul?
Again, we want to thank Jonathan for coming and singing for us tonight. We pray the Lord will bless those messages and song to our hearts. We're turning back to Jeremiah chapter 12, please. Jeremiah chapter 12. The phrase, the question at the end of verse number 5 is where we want to center our thoughts upon tonight, the gospel. Then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? How wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? Let's just seek the Lord, please, in a word of prayer. Before we come to his word for this evening, eternal loving Father, we thank thee tonight for the word of God. We thank thee, Lord, for the presence of the Lord already felt in this meeting. We ask, O God, be pleased to write, Lord, even those messages and song upon our hearts. And Lord, someone tonight will consider their soul, Lord, will think about their soul, where they will be in God's eternity. And Heavenly Father, we pray that tonight you'll be pleased to open hearts to the word of God. Give help to preach, Lord. Give help, O God, tonight to faithfully declare the word of God. And, O God, we pray that this evening thy name will be glorified. Lord, that sinners will come this evening to see their great need of Christ and run to thee this evening. Lord, glorify thy name in the salvation of the lost tonight, we pray. In the Savior's name we ask all of these things. Amen. Amen. Over the past number of weeks, we have all seen the devastation and the destruction that the overflowing banks of rivers around our province have had on many communities and on many homes. After what was a washout of a summer and the ground already being very heavily saturated, then another period of intense Intense rain and heavy rainfall caused the water to drain into rivers that were already at such high levels. And many of those rivers then burst their banks, and the waters overflowing their boundaries and flooding onto the areas surrounding them. Many homes were devastated, businesses ruined, as the waters flooded over the banks of the river and found its way into the streets and into the alleyways around many of our towns. In our Bible reading tonight, we read of another river, and another river that has overflown its banks. It is the River Jordan. This river is a very significant river in Scripture. It's 156 miles long, reaching, flowing from the north to the south, from the Sea of Galilee right down to the Dead Sea. It is on the eastern border of modern-day Israel, the western borders of both Syria and Jordan. And because of its great length and its central location, it's a very significant river, mentioned over 180 times in Scripture. Way back in the book of Genesis, we read of its mention indirectly in the book of Genesis chapter 13, when Lot and Abraham were dividing up the land to which God had given them. Abraham allowed Lot to choose, and he chose the Jordan Valley, which was well watered, which was well saturated, and a good place to live. Then, many years later, the Israelites, as they journeyed from slavery in Egypt, and they came coming to the land of promise, the Jordan River acted as an obstacle, but yes, also as a pathway. Some generations later, then, it was they were to stand on the banks of the River Jordan and to cross over, even when it was at the time of flood. The Old Testament mentions, therefore, this river very many times. But also in the New Testament, the River Jordan plays an important role. It was at the River Jordan where John the Baptist often preached and was found often baptizing people. And it was at the River Jordan, of course, where the Lord Jesus Christ himself was baptized. And there at the Jordan, where the Father proclaimed his love and his pleasure for the Son of God and the Spirit of the Lord descending upon Christ as he commenced his ministry. Just a little sketch to show you the importance and the significance of this River Jordan. But here, in Jeremiah chapter 12, the reference given to the Jordan River is at another time when it has overflown its banks, usually a time of harvest, when the Jordan would flood and overflow into the areas around it. But what the Holy Spirit here, through the prophet Jeremiah, is seeking to use and seeking to do is to use the River Jordan as an illustration, to use the River Jordan as an object lesson. Because the River Jordan in Scripture, in many of those passages that we may have reference to, the River Jordan is always associated with death. And so in that context, and in that setting, we want to consider it tonight. The question is asked, how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? In other words, how will you do when it comes your time to die? How will you do when the judgment of God is poured out? How will you do? How wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? As we look at this verse this evening in the gospel, I want us to notice some things here about these verses. I want you to see, first of all, with me here, there are the circumstances which are alarming. The circumstances which are alarming. In the opening part of this chapter that we read together, Jeremiah has been struggling with the situation and the world around him. There were some things that disturbed him concerning the ungodly. He was concerned in verse 1 about their prosperity. Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? He was concerned as well about their peace. Wherefore are all they happy that deal very treacherously? He was concerned as well about their piety. It seemed that the ungodly were prospering. It seemed that everything was going well for these people who had departed from God, who had rebelled against God, and who wanted nothing to do with God, and everything's well for them. And notice some things then about these circumstances. Notice some of the circumstances that Jeremiah refers to here, which for the prophet were alarming, as he considered the future and as he considered the time of death. He considered the circumstance of a false peace. You go back to verse 1. He uses very strong language to describe those who are living without God. He calls them wicked. Verse 1, wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? He calls them treacherous as well in verse number 1. And folks, this is how the ungodly, how the unsaved really are. You see, sinners in the sight of a holy God are not just good people gone astray. In the eyes of God, the sinner is wicked, the sinner is treacherous. This is the view that the Lord has of the unsaved tonight, wicked and vile, treacherous and evil. And sinner, in this meeting tonight, this is how the Lord views you. You have rejected him, as the people in Jeremiah's day did. You've turned your back on him, turned away from his grace and his mercy. You've rejected him, turned down his offer of salvation. You've turned your back on the things of God. But here's the alarming circumstance. These people are at peace. Wherefore are they happy that deal very treacherously? Here are sinners who have turned their back on God, turned away from the Word of God and the standards of God, and they're unconcerned, they're untroubled. They're at peace in their sin. They're unmoved in their sin. Oh, maybe at a time there was some concern, a little concern, but not now. Certainly not concerned enough to do anything about it. And here, as we go on down through the verses, here these people were at the very edge of death, the very moment of that time, they had passed over Jordan, and yet they're unconcerned. They're at peace in their sin. They are happy. Is that you tonight? As you sit in this gospel meeting, as you sit here still in your sin, you're unconcerned, you're untroubled. Tonight you're on your way to hell. Tonight the flames of hell are a reality for you. Tonight, if you were to die as you are, that is where you will be. And you can sit under gospel preaching. You can sit under the Word of God. You're left without excuse. And yet tonight you're at peace. Peace in your sin. Oh, that tonight you would waken. Oh, that tonight you'd be troubled. Oh, that tonight you would see your state of heart before as God sees you tonight. Wicked, treacherous, having gone away from the things of God. Oh, that you would see tonight that you are condemned. You're abiding under the wrath of God. That you would see that wrath tonight, God's judgment hanging over your head. And it's only by his mercy that it hasn't fallen yet. Oh, see how you've broken the law of God. See how you've turned away from the preaching of his gospel. See that all tonight, and sinner, no longer be at peace, but be troubled. Be convicted. Be concerned tonight. Get to Christ tonight and be saved before it's too late, before those waters of death flood your soul and the wrath of God overtakes you and consumes you and condemns you to a lost hell for all eternity, to a place where you will not ever be at peace. He speaks about a false peace here. There was this circumstance that was alarming, but notice another one. Not only a false peace, but there was a fake piety. You look at verse 2. The end of the verse, it says, "Thou art near in their mouth and far from their reins." Do you know what he's saying there? These people, they talk like a Christian, they walk like a Christian, they act like a Christian, they live like a Christian, but their hearts are far from God. Thou art near in their mouth. Here is the Holy Spirit speaking to these people and showing them they might have an appearance, they might have a form of religion, but outwardly, they're far from God. The Lord is near in their mouth, but far from their reins or from their heart. That might be you tonight. Showing all the signs of religion, showing all the signs of Christianity outwardly, but you have this false piety about you. And that's an alarming circumstance, thinking you're all right. Thinking tonight as you sit in this meeting that you're on your way to hell, and yet you're all right because you have some form of religion. You have some form of Christianity. You have some association with church. Oh, that tonight you would see just the awful situation you're in. Oh, that tonight you would see the terrible state that you were in before God. Oh, that tonight you would be troubled about your soul. Oh, that tonight you would realize that a form of religion will never be enough to save your soul. Another circumstance here was not only the false peace and fake piety, but another circumstance here which was alarming is the fearful parting. As we've said, the swelling of Jordan is symbolic language for the moment of our death, the moment of our parting from this world, or leaving this world behind, going into God's eternity. As the scriptures remind us, it appointed unto man once to die. We all must needs die. Man dieth and giveth up the ghost, wasteth away, where is he? Death, you see, is a reality for all. It's a fearful thing. For those who tonight die in their sins. Christ, when he was speaking to the scribes and the Pharisees, they brought an immoral woman to the Lord, commanded the Lord to judge her, condemn her, put her to death for her sins. Yet they were as sinful themselves. They didn't see their own sin. And the Lord turns to them. And he says, "I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins." Dying in your sins is a fearful thing. What an awful way to die. People talk about, oh, they just want to go quietly when it comes their time. It doesn't matter about the circumstances of our death. It's whether we die in our sins or whether you die saved in Christ. And these people who have this false peace about them, this fake piety, they had a religion, a show of religion, and yet they had nothing, no hope beyond the grave. What a fearful parting it is to die without Christ. To die as you've lived. To die in your sins and be condemned to hell. The circumstances which are alarming. I wonder, do any of them fit you tonight? Not only the circumstances which are alarming here, but secondly, I want you to notice here the caution. The caution which is pressing. Because as the Lord speaks here, he's pressing this matter because it's urgent. And he says to such people, how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? You who are at peace in your sin, you who are untroubled and unmoved in your sin, how will you do? What's the Lord doing? He's warning them. He's cautioning them. Listen to the words again of our text. How wilt thou do? It's a call to stop and to think about the way you're on, about the life you're living. It's a call to stop and to think about how you're rejecting the Lord, how that you're nearer hell than you've ever been tonight. You need to stop. You need to consider this. How will you do? You could put it another way. The Lord's saying to the sinner, you won't do when it comes your time to die. When the floods of God's judgment fall upon you, you'll be consumed, you'll be overcome, you'll be lost eternally, separated eternally in the floods of God's wrath. You're going under. Thank God the saved are going over, but you're going under. You're going down to a lost eternity. Therefore, you need to stop and think. You need to take heed to the caution of the Holy Spirit. You need to stop and consider your ways tonight. You need to get right with God tonight while there is time. You need to confess your sins tonight. You need to bow your knee in humility and honesty before God tonight. You need to realize tonight you're a sinner. You're condemned. You're ripe for the judgment of God. See the terrible state you're in. The floods of God's wrath could overwhelm you at any moment. See the danger, see the damnation. He could take breath from you at any moment, take life from you at any time. You could be right at the very door of death tonight and not know it. So close, and yet die in your sin. Heed the warning. Heed the caution. Heed the instruction of the Lord. He's given you another opportunity. Repent of your sin. Get to Christ. Because tonight it's only through Christ that your sins can be forgiven. The judgment of God's wrath fell upon his Son there at the cross for all those who would trust Christ and Christ alone for salvation. You see, the judgment of God will fall upon all. The wrath of God will fall upon all. But for those who are saved, that wrath fell on Christ, our substitute, our sin bearer. He endured that wrath. He satisfied the wrath. And tonight there's no wrath for those who are in Christ, but sinner. If you die as you are, you reject Jesus Christ, you reject God's Son, you reject the finished work of Christ on the cross, you reject the atoning sacrifice of Christ on the cross, you will experience the wrath of God in your body for all eternity in hell. How often have you heard your need to be saved? How many gospel sermons have you sat through? How many times you've been told you need to be saved, and yet tonight you're unsaved? And the Lord says, I would have gathered you. Gathered you even as a hen gathered her chickens under her wings, and you would not. You would not. You wouldn't be saved. You wouldn't get right with God. You wouldn't humble yourselves before God. You wouldn't. How often the Lord has warned you. How often the Holy Spirit has spoken with you. His mercy has been extended to you. How often, how often. And still tonight you're not saved. And yet tonight, the only way that you can escape the wrath of God for your sin is to come to Jesus Christ and be saved. The circumstances here which are alarming, and the caution which is pressing, this is urgent. We know not the moment of our death. Therefore, we need to be ready. But finally, as we close, I want us to notice now the calamity. The calamity which is distressing. Then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? As we've said, Jordan in the scripture represents death. There'll come that time when we will all pass over Jordan. There'll come that time when we will all leave this world behind. We'll enter God's great eternity. It is appointed unto man once to die. But that's not the end. After this, the judgment. Death is not the end. There is life after this life. When the Apostle Paul went to Athens, there in that great open-air meeting on Mars Hill, warned all those, preached to all those who heard him, all the wise, the educated, the intelligent Greeks of Athens. He finished his sermon that day and he brought them to this reality. That is the judgment of God. He said, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness. He hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man who he hath ordained. He's speaking about Jesus Christ. But he spoke about the day of judgment. And I know tonight that in our secular, godless society, the thought of the judgment of God is remote. Even in many professing evangelical circles, the thought of the judgment of God is something that you don't talk about. But here in the scriptures, we read that God hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world. It's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Tonight, to those who are saved, there's been that moment, that time in your life's experience, your sin will be judged too. My sin will be judged. But because of Christ, my judgment is past. Because there on the cross, Jesus Christ satisfied the wrath of God for me. And the wrath of God is past. For those who die in their sins, die as they have lived, rejecting Jesus Christ, they will be judged personally. And they will experience the wrath of God personally. This day of judgment, this day when it comes to pass over Jordan and to go into God's eternity and to meet God, that day is unalterable. Look what he says. I have appointed a day. Appointed a day. Oh, there are many days in your life that you will wish never happened. Many days in your life when you will wish that they didn't happen. Here, sinner, is one day. One day you will wish you could avoid, but you'll not. It's appointed. And I tell you, you meet God that day in your sin, you will wish you had never been born. It's unavoidable. You can't do anything about it. You can't do anything to withstand the judgment of God. You can't turn it away. You can't ignore it. Oh, yeah, you can ignore Christ in your life, and you've done that up until this point. But I tell you, you'll not ignore him on that day. Like all the rest, you will call upon the rocks and the mountains to cover you, to hide you. But it'll be too late. That day of judgment is also unimaginable. Paul said he would judge in righteousness. In other words, he would judge rightly. Nobody will be able to accuse God of judging them unfairly. They will be judged exactly, accurately. There'll be no partiality. There'll be no favoritism. You'll be judged either as you are in Christ or without him. But stand before God one day you will. But what an awful day it will be. Your punishment and your banishment will be unimaginable. As you hear those words from the Savior, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire. What an awful thing it would be. What an awful thing it would be for someone in this meeting, having heard their need to be saved, told of their need to get right with God, yet die as you are, cross the river Jordan, die in your sin, and go to meet God still as a sinner. And as he condemns you to hell, those words ringing in your ears for all eternity, depart. Mercy past, opportunity gone. Circumstances which are alarming. Oh, you think you're all right. Nothing to worry about. You'll just get on through. No, you won't. There's the caution here which is pressing. The Lord is cautioning you, warning you. How wilt thou do? Without Christ, you won't do. Then the calamity. The swelling of Jordan. When you cross over the Jordan River in death, and the floodgates of God's wrath are poured upon you, and you're condemned, and you're cast out. Oh, tonight, while there is time, while there is opportunity, get to Christ. While you hear the voice of the Lord, while you hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, get to Christ tonight. This is something which is pressing. Oh, tonight, you need to be saved. You've put it off for far too long. You've turned away from the Lord now for far too long. You've lived your life without the Lord for far too long. Now is the time to be saved. Will you be saved tonight? Will you get right with God tonight? Because at the end of the day, that's all that matters. You may have come into this meeting rejecting him, turning your heart away from him. Tonight you can go away from this meeting, accepted, saved by the Lord. How wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? Thank God tonight for those who are saved. We'll be going over. But for those unsaved, you'll be going under. Under in the wrath of God's judgment upon you. But tonight, come, receive Jesus Christ, leave your sin, come to heaven.